reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verses 32 to 35, and can be found on page 888 in the Pew Bible. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel of John, and I'm reading from John chapter 14 and verses 15 to 26. If you love me, said Jesus, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, Those who love me will keep my word. And my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to you, O Christ.
Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us that we may understand what you say, take it into our hearts, and live it out in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Now, the last time I was here on behind this lectern, I preached about half a sermon to you. I left you with three words. I'm not going to ask you if you remember what they are, though somebody did come to me 2 days after the sermon and tell me what the three words were, which I think was probably a record. As you know, I love words. I was encouraged this week to be reminded of what the word companion means. You know, we know about companion. But of course it means com, together, and pan, bread. So companions are people who share bread. So we are companions, because we will be gathering at the Lord's table to share bread this morning. So companions, let's have a look at those words we had from the last sermon that I left you with. I left you with believe, I left you with abide, and I left you with wait. And if you remember, they came from the scriptures. To all who received him, from John 1, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. We choose to believe. And when we believe, God gives us power to become his children. And then there was abide. Jesus talking to his disciples saying, I'm the vine, you are the branches, those who abide in me. And that was had all sorts of attached meanings about dwelling and staying for a long time and living together and being close. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing, said Jesus. And then there was wait, and then we went back to Isaiah for that. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They will rise up like with wings like eagles and run and not be weary, walk and not faint. And I thought, that's good. But I've sort of left you hanging, really, because there's all this lovely words and all these lovely sort of exhortations to believe and to abide and to wait. But how do you do it? How do you do it? Which brings us to our morning talk. Remember about believe, adhere to, trust, rely on, a whole lot of meanings sitting around that Greek word that's translated believe. It's got a whole lot of things in it. And when we say the Apostles' Creed, which we're not going to do this morning, as it happens, because we have a responsive creed in this particular post-Easter service, when we say the Apostles' Creed, we say, on the third day he rose again, hallelujah, he ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, he will come to judge the living and the dead, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And that's it. That's the statement in the Apostles' Creed. You know, we move on to the Holy Catholic Church and the rest of it. In the Nicene Creed, which we more often say as part of a communion service, there's a bit more. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. That's one. So we're saying the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. That means it's perfectly right to worship the Holy Spirit, to pray to the Holy Spirit, because our God is three, but our God is one. So we can treat the Holy Spirit as we treat Jesus and the Father, and who has spoken through the prophets. So it's clear that the Holy Spirit has something to do with what goes on in this world. Before Jesus came, after Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit had work to do. So we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the reading we had this morning, John 14. If you love me, said Jesus, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you. We'll come back to advocate in a moment. This is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive, but he abides with you, and he will be in you. That word abide comes back. And towards the end of that passage, we've got this. The advocate, that word again, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Now, we'd better unpack that word, advocate. Because an advocate, well, if I have the ill fortune to end up in court and I'm not very good at presenting my case, I will want an advocate. I will want a barrister or a solicitor who will come and make my case for me. And advocate means they're going to speak for me. But the Greek word is much... There is a problem when we're translating from Greek into English for the Bible, because Greek words quite often carry lots of sort of supplementary and additional meanings, and the translators want to pack it all into one word. So in the King James Version, the same word is actually translated comforter. And you think, well, those two words are, they've got similar sorts of meanings, but, you know, they are different. I wouldn't go to court with a comforter by my side, or even in my mouth. And, you know, you get the point. This Greek word, parakletos, actually means someone who comes alongside to help, someone who comes alongside. And that can mean a whole lot of things. Yes, it's the barrister who comes alongside me to help me in the court, but it's also the person who comes along to comfort me when I'm down, or to encourage me, or to build me up in some way. Whatever, a comforter, an encourager, a helper, all of those meanings are in this word, which is translated advocate or comforter in our various versions. And this comforter, this encourager, this helper is the Holy Spirit. And we say we believe in the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to our passage for the gospel for this morning. He will give you another advocate to be with you forever. He abides with you, and he will be in you. Now, this is getting personal, because in a sense, you can think of God the Father as up there somewhere. And you can think of Jesus as walking this earth, but after he ascended, being up there somewhere, somewhere else. But this is Jesus, and he's talking about the Spirit of Truth who will be with us and in us. With us, that's personal. And, of course, the disciples were told to wait in Jerusalem until Pentecost, which we will celebrate in 5 weeks' time. And the Holy Spirit certainly arrived for them, with tongues of fire and the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and I'm sure we'll have a sermon about that at Pentecost. But this is a promise for all of us. Paul makes it perfectly clear in his letters and his other writings, and Peter and James and John all talk about the Holy Spirit being in the believers, encouraging them, strengthening them, giving them power to do the work that God sent them to do. And please note, just in passing, that this is not an age-related benefit. In other words, we may be grayer, at least I am, than I used to be. But God isn't. God is just as fresh and new and bright as he was at the first day of creation. God doesn't age. And the Holy Spirit doesn't age. So, when the Holy Spirit dwells with us and in us, he is fresh and new. This is a lovely spring day, isn't it? Isn't it glorious? Isn't it wonderful to see the new growth the new leaves and the blossoms and the sun, fantastic. In a sense, if the Holy Spirit is in us, every day is a spring day, a new life day. And you're saying, well, yeah, okay, can I take this seriously? This actually have an effect on me. Well, this is something that Jesus said. In my Bible, it's written in red because it's words that Jesus spoke. And it's a promise. It's a promise. Now, we could spend hours unpicking the theology of the Holy Spirit, and I haven't got hours, so I'm not going to spend hours. So I shall stop fairly short, but I am going to talk a little bit about the effect the Holy Spirit has on the life of believers, if they will let him, if we will let him. I've put this up because it's a lovely picture of fruit. And Paul in Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You know it, the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruit, the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. And you know what? If you come to a fruit tree at the right time of year, you will expect to find fruit on it. It's natural. It's a normal thing for an apple tree to bear apples. It's a normal thing for a peach tree to bear peaches. It's a normal thing for a Christian in whom the Holy Spirit dwells to experience love and joy and peace, to show forth patience and goodness and kindness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the things we look for. Come to an apple tree in September, you're looking for fruit. Come to a Christian at any time of the year, you're looking for fruit. And Jesus promised it. Jesus promised it. Now, one of the problems, of course, with the Holy Spirit is you can't see him, which is a bit of a problem. I mean, you know, if he was sitting there, we'd probably all fall down and worship him and listen to what he had to say. You can't see him, but you can see what he does. You can see the changes he makes. He's like air. I don't know how many of you have thought this morning how wonderful it is to be breathing. We don't notice it. It's all around us. I made a calculation once. The weight of the air in this room is more than the weight of all the people in this room. It's much denser than you think it is. There's you know, and we live by it. You don't notice it unless you're not getting enough of it. People with asthma or who are underwater will sort of sympathize with that. But it's there, and it gives us life. You can't see it, but the fact that you're all sitting there, and most of you have got your eyes open, you know, reminds me that actually you are breathing, you are getting life from the air. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can see what he does. And what he does is to produce fruit in the lives of the believers. So, to sum up, if we take Jesus at his word and believe his promise, I have the Holy Spirit in me and you have the Holy Spirit in you, believer in Christ, companion on the way. And if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you will bear fruit. Not age-related benefit. Same for all of us. always new. So what I'd like to do is just to take a minute of quiet and prayer for you to say, what fruit is the Holy Spirit bearing in me today? If I listen, will he nudge me to do something, to phone someone who needs a call, to write a note to someone who needs encouraging, to give someone a hug, to show them that they're valued, to, I don't know, make a donation to the mission in Bulgaria, to show love, to experience joy? Why would we not experience joy on the Sunday after the resurrection? Perhaps you're looking for peace, and perhaps the Holy Spirit will bring you peace today. Perhaps you need some patience. You can pray for it. Let's just take a moment to think on that. For me today, what does that mean? The Holy Spirit will be with you. He will abide with you. He will be in you. Come, Holy Spirit, and show forth your fruit in our lives, we pray. And as we are companions on the way, fill us with your grace as we share at Christ's table and remember him. In his name, amen.